initiate continue to follow the astral form or that of the coming successor? Do all masters appoint a successor?
The initiate who's been initiated by some master who has left physical plane, but he desires to be initiated forever, never leaves him till the end of the world. So he will be connected with that master by whom he was initiated, and for satsang purposes, he should attend the other one who is following.
What did Swamiji of Agra smoke in his hookah? Why did Jamal follow someone who smoked?
Why? They had to smoke on their own business. You need not smoke. Because I tell you one thing, the man who lives in the snakes, I'll give you an example, who got that incantation power, he is not bitten by the snakes. But all others will be bitten by the snakes. Don't copy him, but do what he says.
Does a doctor assume his patient's karma when he heals them?
If he exerts, then he might contact by sympathy, now simply. But if he does his duty in sweet remembrance of God, leaves everything to him, then he's not to contact any karma.
Who or what is the Antichrist? What is the negative power?
What is in your mind? It always wish it to be away to the outer things in that, attached to the outer thing, not print out from there and have this within.
Says yesterday you said that eating wrong foods could cause sickness. The questioner thought that sickness was the result of past karma. Would Master please explain the cause of physical disorders?
You know there are codes, small cause codes and high codes and privy causal codes. The small cases are decided in a week or so, or a month. Higher still in months, and privy causal case years. So, what if you say you have the result be falling in a day or two or a week? That is small cause codes, you see. And the higher course that takes time, you see, may be taken to the next birth.
An associate made up her mind to leave the path. Why does this happen?
Because in his control of mind, he led away by mind. When you come to a master, as Christ said, Satan wait. Then sorry, let Satan come forward, then you must delay your progress.
What will happen to the person, Master?
Who?
The one who left the path.
He cannot go away. He's brought back sooner or later. He may leave, but Master won't leave him. He gives a long rope, of course.
Dear Master, if an initiate thinks she has the knee, is permissible to seek the help of an analyst or a psychiatrist or a counselor?
Yes, if it's physical illness, he might. If he can fully relax and come in contact with the sound principle within, that has got curative power itself.
Says, Master, we are getting married in a few weeks. Would you say a few words about marriage?
Marriage, you see, according to the scriptures, it followed the peace. Scriptures say marriage means it is a sacrament, first of all, not a contract. If God is united, that no power disunite. So marriage means taking a companion in life to be with you in weal or woe, and both help each other to know God. That you may have a One duty maybe of begetting children when it is wanted. Now there is no machine of enjoyment, you see. In the married people must have some time in life where they should lead life, chaste life. After all, they have to go back to God.
Dear Master, is being aware of a person's physical dimensions without desire a default in chastity?
I don't follow what is meant by that.
I think this means observing the physical form of someone without desiring them.
That's what I would interpret.
Well, that took the man originally to interpret what he says, what he wants.
Who wrote it? Master wants to know.
What is that?
I'm saying if you're aware of someone's physical form, if you notice their dimension without desiring them, if you're aware of their body.
If you're aware of the beauty of their form without desiring them, is this a fault? Should you mark as a fault in chastity?
If that affects his low life, why not?
He said if it's no offense, why not observe them? Does Master feel that it is proper for widows and widowers to remarry?
You want my or what scripture say, you see? Scripture all say peaceful life is one for one. If they remarry, read Moses' orders, commandments. Read for yourself. I'm not against what you have got in your customs, but to read Moses' commandments on the subject. Very detailed commandment is given there.
Previous husband has died.
That depends on the custom, please.
Depends on the custom.
In East, they don't like. How many men can love? love is not love, it's children.
While I'm withdrawing from the body just before breaking through, I have a struggle about whether I will make it in my mind. Then often I yawn and what's my attention, sir? My attention is gone. What should I do?
If you leave it, do effortless effort, then there's no problem. If you effort, the very effort stands in the way.
I think one of the things that from your questions that we've noticed that when Master is here, we clutch even more than we do when we meditate alone sometimes. We try harder. We expect more. And he keeps telling us every day, relax and let me pull you through. And I know this is one of my big faults. I clutch and I shouldn't be. I get in a hurry. When fixing the gaze, do we look from without into the third eye, or do we look from the third eye into what is in front of us?
Your third eye is the bag that opens only when you rise above body consciousness, not before. That opens into the beyond. Outer eye is a different thing.
Your instructions in meditation are to look out, I believe.
In front, that is to save tension.
Yes.
That is to save tension only.
Master, could you state simply whether long hair on males is a hindrance on the path? I thought we got that one yesterday.
If you are always dressing your hair when sitting, then it's a hindrance. Sometimes I see dog benches, then again to put it at the back. They're not in the habit. When they form habit there, but are always dressing their hair, so I think that will stand in the way. Why not better bind it so that there may be no... But that is no lie, you see. Hair don't grow long than what is required, nature requires.
During meditation, the eyes drop below the horizontal level, then the white clouds and colored lights are more easily seen.
It
says here, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and do you believe we are saved by Jesus' shed blood?
All masters sent by God are sons of God. We respect them, we love them.
Says, I noticed that you and Mara Baba were born the same month and year. Have you met with him? Could you tell us if he was a perfect master?
He invited me when his father's Jean Edgio wrote his life, by which thousands were people attracted to him. He was initiated. He was initiated along with others. Then he came up over here. Then he went back. He invited me to come over there. I didn't go. He embraced me very lovingly. He said, "Told well, all right, following what he said." And that's all, I met him. And he said, "I won't die." But he did die. God knows why.
Dear Master, when you leave the room and give your blessing as you are walking out, are you blessing us all equally, or do you just bestow a special blessing on those only upon whom you look at individually?
By radiation, who are receptive, they receive more.
Is there a way for us to know if we are about above? Is there a way for us to know if we are above body consciousness?
But you decide whether you are not above body consciousness. You won't think of the world. Do you see the world then? You know whether you are risen above body consciousness. You know. Nobody else will reply to you or testify it. When you see life within, you are cut off from the physical side, the outside. That you know.
How are we, how are our companions chosen, and how should they be maintained?
Everybody loves such a man who is got of the same inclination, same habits. Generally. But we should just see what is the ideal before us. If you are after God, then select such as like people who have got spiritual mind. Those who got worldly things, and naturally they select those who are in the worldly way. Who are a businessman, they seek the company of some businessman who will be helping.
Does being unclean physically impair spiritual meditation?
When you rise above body consciousness, then to be clean, all right, you'll be wide awake, you'll be right and blank. To keep it in a temple of God, keep it clean. But when you rise above body consciousness, whether it's clean or not, you rise above it. This is a question who are adept in it for them. Others should be wide awake, quite fresh and blank.
Please explain that on interviews one should ask for spiritual progress and not mundane family affairs.
If you go to a king, then what is yours? You ask only ordinary what you say. Pennies or something more valuable. Naturally, if you come to a master, he has got the spiritual wealth. Others also go, there's nothing that cannot be had at his feet. But others have what he is specially meant for, you see, what others cannot give, and that is spiritual wealth.
I think that's perfectly clear and obvious that when we come to master, we should be seeking spiritual improvement in ourselves and help in this respect. What is selfless service on the diary?
Selfless service in which you have got no personal interest for return. Maybe somebody said that man serves his own relatives, his own relations, that's all right, his own brothers, but those in whom you have got no selfish motives, that's the selfless service. And when yourself is not involved, direct.
Some men say all souls will be with God, but others say some will end up on a lesser plane. Which is true?
Who ended up going on to this plane? Let them stand up. When were only they just driving a certain question which practically they don't know. To know God, even you in the body, when you little as you have no God, then the plane, higher plane starts. There are so many mentions in the house of our father. So life is affecting. See, you know God, that's all right. Degrees of knowing God. One is direct difference to it, the other are the mouthpiece, the other only for a while when it should be a little radiation. So that depends on that.
About wearing or using leather goods, does this bring about karma?
In all things, least sin to go on with. To breathe is also a thing. Go read, I mean, Wheel of Life, you find in detail. You breathe as also a sin. You eat that is also, but of least degree. The all sins are washed away when we become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, not before. So we have to live on the least sin and know it.
Please indicate or explain how we disciples on the spiritual path are to keep from discoursing among ourselves after a meeting.
That I think already given for spiritual matters, you are not to discuss with anybody. He may guide you, not very correct. Then, for spiritual matters, contact with me and guide with the master. If you discuss something, one man says something, other says other thing, may not be correct, very correct. One man has got more experience, the other got less. The man who has got more, he will be elated, the other will be disappointed. Each man has his own way of progress. For spiritual matters, remain in contact with the mind. No, you are discussing. They won't help you. Either they will bring you some doubt or something, disappointment, or some elation.
If an initiate prays for the mental or physical healing of another person, does the initiate risk taking on the person's illness or karma?
Yes, he will exert, surely.
If one is to die, I understand that he is to have 3 days' notice from you. Will you come and tell us on the inside, even though we have...
No hard and fast rule, but he becomes conscious even weeks before, according to his own development.
Says even though you've been unable to reach the radiant form of the master, that was the end of it. Lots of people don't reach the radiant form.
They've got some information that they're going, you see. Yes. Though they do not see the radiant form, but they have informed me, you're going ready.
Mm. What is the best method for purifying the mind?
They're giving me high bliss. when you give him more higher bliss, more enjoyment in something as compared with the outward enjoyment, naturally leave all such enjoyment.
Master, under which heading in the diary form should I put my incapacity to gather up attention in meditation?
There's no heading there.
No heading there.
What, you don't put it off till tomorrow, what you can do today. Procrastination is the thief of time. Do what you can do today. Don't put it off till tomorrow or after some years. Who knows, that time will come or not.
Some initiates say you have given them permission to eat infertile eggs, and many are now practicing this in their diet.
You should stand up.
Stand up.
Who says I have permission?
Anyone that says I have permission.
Well, they will go by hell, say.
Don't be bashful.
They will go by hell.
The great master does not allow to eat fertile or unfertile eggs. That's a category of meat and is not...
That place of passion is very clear. It's very first condition.
But the time is running short, so please...
Please explain how we can fall in love with the Master. I am ashamed that I do not have real love for the Master.
Because he does not live up to the commandments of the body. That's only... If you want to please somebody, what should you do? Just have such a life which is pleasing to him. What life is pleasing to him? Great life, good life, sympathetic life. Who helps to others, who does not torment anybody, who does not use up anybody right, who is honest and all, these things will be things. Who puts in regular time to meditation, comes in contact with the higher self, his life will change, naturally that will be to the Master. There will be more love there too.
Master, I wonder if you, since it's a nice outdoor meeting, and the last time we had an outdoor meeting like this, you told us the difference in trying and doing.
Yes, trying is half-heartedness, doing definite. And moreover, when you come into contact with the light and sound principle within, that is the expression of, outer expression of God. The God is love, the more you come in contact with love, that will overflow. Love it will overflow within you. And the more you come in radiation of the Master to the overflowing love, still more you, by receptivity, you have more love. Your love will flare up. These are the things.
Can we have an ashram in Miami?
Love you. You can maintain it. That's a good idea, of course.
When concentration is imperfect and the master form appears and reappears for brief instances, is it due to the negative power or our unreceptive state? Should we report the master form?
That the criterion has been given to you already. Repeat the five names. If that does not stand before it, it is negative. If it does stand, it is real. It comes up because sometimes to give a sure to the initiate, I am with him.
Last question. In bhajan, I hear rumbling and high-pitched humming. Should I listen to the higher pitch to go higher?
Continue. What is the higher? Which is more clear? Follow that. Which is more clear? Follow that.
So whom should you love? Naturally, if you love somebody who is
coming and going. Naturally, we'll have to come back. We follow him wherever he goes. If you love somebody in whom God is manifest, naturally, where will you go? Where he will go? If he is not to return back, then you are not to return back. What will he say? He says, well, this man body, you have got the highest rung in creation. You are fortunate. But the highest aim before you is to know God. That you can do only in man body and no other body. That you have got fortunately, you have got it already with the grace of God. So this is your turn to see God, to meet God. All other things, these are to be paid off, all debts, giving and taking, you see, as a reaction of the past. Whom you love, naturally, it follows that you have to just do what he says. Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And what does he say? Well, this is I turn to meet God, man body, the highest rung in creation, you have got by the grace of God. Make the best use of it. What is the best use of it? To know God. And to know God, we must know ourselves. Self-knowledge precedes God-knowledge. Not as a matter of inference or feelings, but as a matter of self-analysis, rising above body consciousness. When you know self, you know the old self which is controlling you in the body. Now what is the expression of that God into expression power? God is light and God is sound principle. When you withdraw from outside, rise above body consciousness, you see with the inner eye open the light of God. And hear the sound of the nada of God. One who is competent in that, he is called a saint, he is called a sadhu or sadhu. So best thing to whom we should love is such a person in whom God is manifest. So when you near such a man, you see, you come across and his pole, where that powerhouse is connected, you see, you come nearer to powerhouse. So Maulana Rum says, when you come across a true master, you come nearer to God, because God is manifest in him. So coming to his feet, by radiation you get withdrawn too. The more your attention is riveted in him, the more you think of him, the more you are drawn with it. Your soul withdraws from the body, you see the light of God. So this is the feet of a master. In the world, man body, the highest ideal before us is to know God. But to know God, we must meet with somebody in whom he is manifest, who can also manifest in us the same God power working within us. See, although he does not ask you to leave the world and go to the forest, you see, he says, remain in the world, pay up all debts, give and take, which you have to do as a reaction of the past, pay up those strictly, and direct your footsteps to God. Those who can guide you that way, he is called a master. There is no reserved right any of outer any religion, you see. Masters have been coming in all regions. You remain anywhere you like, but meet such a master, you see, in whom he is manifest and who has the competency to make the power of God manifest in you. Such a man, while living in the world too, when he is always thinking of God, you see, naturally, where will you go? To God. If you are attached to the world, naturally you will have to come back again and again. Man body is the highest rung in creation, fortunately. We have got it already, and the best use of it is to know God. To know God, we must know ourselves. It's a practical subject of self-analysis that can be demonstrated by someone who rises above body consciousness daily. So this is what I will tell you, whom we should love in the world.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was a question and answer session given by Master in Birch State Park in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on December 8, 1972, that ended with a part of a morning talk called Whom Should We Love? Our reader this morning is Sheila Gilmore. Hello, Sheila.
Hello, David. Good morning, everyone. I'm still reading A Night is a Jungle. I'm on page 342, and Master has just talked about the inner temple versus the outer man-made models of the God temple. The man-made model was intended to teach us that there is such a thing as inner light and sound, and we should have learned to withdraw to experience it. But instead, we are worshiping any image indiscriminately. In sacred solemnity, we are clutching the outer skin, oblivious to the fruit that lies within. In the Upanishads, it is written, "What is that, the knowledge of which makes everything else known?" The soul is a conscious entity. As long as it does not merge into the all consciousness, it will never be at peace. Furthermore, the mind can never be controlled while it remains without contact with the Nam or God power. When you get the Nam, the mind becomes controlled. In the life of Lord Krishna, it is mentioned that deep in the river Jamuna, he encountered a thousand-headed serpent, which he overpowered by playing his flute. This serpent represents the mind, which has a thousand ways of poisoning us. With victory over the mind, you have victory over the world. There is no other obstacle between us and the Lord but the mind. If your heart holds a strong desire to realize God, then put one foot on your mind to still it, and the next step will take you to the home of the Lord. In the Quran, it is written that if a man can recognize his true self, then he will recognize God. The same teachings are brought by all masters for all people. A light appears in the human form, and all religions are enlightened by it. For those who meet him receive the enlightenment. When each enlightened soul leaves, a new religion starts to keep his teachings alive. But without the practical guidance, a decline sets in. Everyone is overzealous in upholding his own beliefs, and no one is willing to sit on common ground, on equal footing, to discuss spiritual matters. The true teaching remains the same, age after age. Truth is one for everyone. God is not different for Hindus, Muslims, Christians, and so on. He is the God of the whole world, and is not a Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, etc. Even now, a small amusing incident remains in my memory, which happened when I was in Peshawar, studying in the ninth grade. I used to take my books and study in a garden named Shahiba. And one day, a man whose name I still remember, Darbari Lal, asked me, "Where is Shahiba?" I told him that he was standing beside that very garden. And he said, "I have come to settle judgment on a dispute, for I have been told that the Hindu god is crying because the Muslim god has beaten him up and broken his leg." People used to gather in Shahiba, especially for discussing different controversies. Even at that young age, I was shocked to discover that people thought each religion had a different god. Poor understanding is widespread because men do not rise above the worldly level to see the facts from a more accurate angle of vision. Up to the time of the 10th guru, no master had revealed the circumstances of his past birth so openly as he did. In the latter part of his life, he talked of many strange things, including the seven-pointed splendor of Hemkunt, a place of seven hills where he had performed many austerities in a past life, through which he lost individuality and became one with the Lord. He was there seated in great bliss, but the Lord gave him orders, "Child, go into the world and work." Guru Gobind Singh Ji recounts that he had no desire to return to the world, but was persuaded, so he said, "What are your orders, my Lord?" The Lord said, "Those who are there, and most of those who have been there, have encouraged the praise of their own names. Go and tell of my name. Show that there is God." When Guru Gobind Singh was asked who he was, he said, "I am the servant of the Most High who has come to see the play in the world. Know me as his servant. There's no difference between him and me." He has also said, "They who think of me as God will all go to hell." God is sending his water of life through a vessel, but the vessel should not think of himself as the doer. No true master will say, "I am the guru," for the ray is of the sun. But through being connected with that ray, one can reach the sun itself. With one single ray of the Lord, the whole world was created. From one source, millions of rivers emerged. What and who exactly is God, no one can know, for man has exhausted himself in attempting to sing his praises. In the Japji, Guru Nanak says, "Some sing of his greatness, but only according to the power bestowed on them. Some sing of his bounties, taking them as his signs. Some sing of him as incomprehensible. Some sing of him as transmitting dust into life and life into dust again, creator and destroyer, the giver of life and its withdrawer. Some sing of him as at once the nearest and the most remote. There is no end to his description. Nothing has been mentioned of God himself, only the things he created. You cannot know him by talking, though you may talk for millions of years. Even the masters have failed in the attempt. Finally, they resort to observing neti, neti. He is not this, he is not that. A Muslim prophet says, "Through philosophy, generations have passed in descriptive attempts, but God's character remains unsaid." Today is Baisakhi, and our new life should start. All differences in our hearts should be removed. A man once asked me why it was that no master has said, "Put your attention on me," but rather they say, "Put your attention on him." I told him that the instructions must be properly understood. Lord Krishna said, "Put your attention on that true form of mine. Put your attention on that true form of mine." The method remains the same regardless of where the power is manifesting. Electricity will sometimes heat and sometimes chill. Avatars and saints are manifestations or phases of the same Lord. Misunderstanding and narrow-mindedness create separation of brother from brother, but God's intoxication is one and the same. We are all worshipers of the living light, regardless of which religion we belong to. Some Christians came to the Prophet Muhammad and requested him to give them a place where they could build a church. And what did he do? He gave them half the mosque for their church. Would anyone do such a wonderful thing today? Think carefully over his action and what it means. Are we prepared to follow in the footsteps of our elders? Guru Har Gobind, the sixth Sikh guru, built mosques and temples as well as gurudwaras side by side whenever necessary. In Amritsar, the foundation stone of the famous Sikh Golden Temple was laid by Hazrat Mian Mir, a Muslim saint, at the special request of Guru Arjan. To rise above body consciousness means to rise above illusion. Then one realizes in truth that there exist no differences, religious, sectarian, or other. This is truly the ultimate goal. Outer things are merely helping factors leading toward it. And man as a social being must live in some social group, otherwise corruption starts its corroding process. Once in Lahore, an atheist called people from various religions together to discuss the question, is religion necessary? Each religious leader spoke at length, proving the necessity of the different forms and rituals, etc. I was present, sitting in the front row. Then the atheist stood up to give his proof as to why religion is not necessary, giving various examples. Among these, he stated that when a marriage is to take place, it is merely a matter of the priest, pundit, or mullah placing his hands on the couple in blessing before a group of witnesses to join them together so as to prevent corruption. It does not make any difference if it is performed in one religious way or another. I stood up and said, Brother, is it not true that if 10 or 20,000 people were of your thought, then a new society or sect would have to be formed? In that society, some rules and regulations would have to be made. You desire to save yourself from organizations, but you are inadvertently creating another. If each man stayed in his own sect and learned how to know his true self or soul, and that power which controls all things, would that not be better? He was an atheist, but he replied, What you have said is correct. And for as long as I lived in Lahore, we used to meet on very loving terms. There's a great deal of misunderstanding existing regarding this subject. In holy places, only truth should be discussed and realized, for truth is truth. Keep the company of someone who has realized the truth and get right understanding. We say God is one, and even this is not true, but we are finite beings and must therefore use finite terms. Let us now take a hymn of Guru Gobind Singh on this celebrated day. O mind, take such a sannyas. And there's a note here. Sannyas means renunciation or ascetic discipline. The master has inserted a comment here after the first line of the hymn. This line refers to the following lines which explain it. This is a lesson for the mind, that it should adopt such renunciation that will still all desires. To leave one's hearth and home is not the true sannyas. One must become desireless. And then the very silence sprouts forth into light, and that same silence becomes vocal. Regard every place as a lonely forest. In the mind alone will complete silence come. You can make your home a lonely forest. Is not the night a lonely forest? Just consider for a moment. Those who have made the best use of their nights, by knowing oneself and the overself, have themselves been made. Those who have wasted their nights in frivolous pursuits have wasted themselves. Even a student of worldly knowledge becomes intellectually strong if he makes full use of the night as well as the day. Those men who exercise the physical body through the cold nights become giants in muscle and strength. It is obvious how strong they are. And the disciples who spend their nights in sweet remembrance of the Lord become God themselves. If a man can control the dim hours from sunset to sunrise, he becomes a true human being. But instead we eat, drink, enjoy the worldly pleasures until midnight, and then snore the rest of the night away. One master has said that in the night the Lord's fragrance is given out. He who remains awake receives this precious gift. Do the worldly duties in the daytime, and at night consider that you are all alone deep in the country. One's duties and social obligations with family and friends should be performed with pleasure, because God has joined you together for the sake of give and take. But in the night, you can feel free from all this and repose in His lap. It is not at all necessary to leave your home and family for meditation when you have the long, lonely nights. When you are wholly absorbed in some object, it is a true sannyas, cutting off from all other things. And if we start from today, most definitely our lives will change. This invaluable guidance is written in the sacred books, but sadly it remains there, or it penetrates only to the intellectual level. We have to take the knowledge and live up to it. Only then does it become a part of life. The night is a jungle. Do your work in the daytime and then benefit from the night. The true purpose of having a human form is to make daily progress toward the great goal. So sit down each day and see where you are. The meaning of keeping a diary is of utmost importance, but very few fully understand it. Remove those things which are obstructing your progress. Weed out the imperfections one by one. A strong man revels in his strength, and the weaker man wonders how he got it. When a wrestler walks abroad, people turn to stare and remark on his strength. He has not achieved that overnight, but through many nights of hard exercising. As the renunciate leaves everything and goes to the woods, you can sit down nightly in your own home, forgetting the world and freeing yourself from all entanglements. Make the jhana of chastity and purity and take a bath of yoga. Grow the nails of regularity. And the explanation of that is, renunciates let their hair grow, cover it with ashes, and coil it on their heads. This is called jhata. They also stop cutting their nails. So I'll read that again. Make the jhata of chastity and purity, and take a bath of yoga. Grow the nails of regularity. One should make one's jhata out of the purity of life. Guard carefully one's brahmacharya, or chastity. Chastity is life, and sexuality is death. Our whole house has to stand on this foundation. Do not make it out of sand. You will then be able to live properly. Your mind and intellect will be wholesome. This in itself is a most valuable thing. For even if you have only dry bread to eat, yet you will have full strength. You won't need any tonics. In regard to the householder's life, marriage is not a bar to spirituality if one lives according to the scriptures. There may be one duty of begetting children, but that is not the be-all and end-all of married life. There is grossly wrong understanding on this subject. Do not make the human form a mere machine for vice. Instead, make your life pure and controlled. If you wish to have one or two children, well and good, but look after them properly and help them to become something good. Set a worthy example for them and remain aware of the responsibilities of parenthood. Furthermore, the whole family should sit together and sing the praises of the Lord. The Guru Sahib tells us to take a bath in the yoga. If you want to become one with God, you must throw away all worldly thoughts. To take a bath in yoga means a daily bath in his contact. Become one with him. If you cannot wash your hands of worldly affairs, you should not sit in God's remembrance. The Muslims do wazu, which is washing of the hands, face, and feet, before they sit for the namaz, for they believe that unless this is done, the prayer will not be accepted. So we should wash the worldly environments out of our thoughts before we sit in meditation. The Hindus say that puja should not be done unless one first takes a bath. The most effective bath is to withdraw your attention from outer things. Grow the nails of regularity. An army without a commander will end up in chaos, so we must command our lives with regularity. If you are employed somewhere, you go there daily at the proper time without any trouble. And for meditation, we should adopt the same attitude and sit daily at the regular time. Sadly, we are adrift. Sometimes we sit, sometimes we don't. If we were truly regular, we would find that if we should happen to have a day without meditation, we would feel ill at ease, as though we had missed something. If possible, there should be a room in the house, the home, set aside for God's remembrance alone. You would find that the very atmosphere of that room would remind you of him. In the last stanza of the Japji, you will find, make chastity your furnace and patience your smithy. To fashion gold into something beautiful, a goldsmith must first melt the metal by the aid of a furnace. Take these two things, patience and chastity, and go on working toward your goal. With patience, one will continue to persevere even when the progress seems slow. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It is a promise Christ gave. So take these things into your lives, patience, perseverance, chaste and pure living, and regularity. And then, make the nights your jungle and see what a beautiful program will result. In the past, a true brahmacharya would spend his first 25 years in a jungle ashram learning the Vedic and Shastric scriptures. Then he would enter the grihastha ashram, which is taking up the duties of a householder. After conscientiously bringing up his one or two children to the stage of adulthood, he would then return to the forest in the vanprastha ashram, wherein he would study for self-realization. Having realized the truth, he would leave that stage and journey around the world helping the people to awaken. Today's preaching is done for the stomach only. Some people earn their livelihood by their own hard labor in one way or another, and some take their living from religion or religious books. So make your home a jungle. He who lives in his own home, remaining aloof from worldly taints, yearning within for the Lord, will receive far more benefit than from taking a bath in the limpid waters of the holy river Ganges. Become so closely connected with the Lord that either he or you remains, not two. Get connected to the pure Nam through the Guru's knowledge of the soul. The Guru's knowledge is a practical experience. There's nothing academic about it. This knowledge is of attention, or surat, and sound, shabd. It cannot be brought into words. The word knowledge here refers to the music of the spheres, which is vibrating within our very being. It can only be experienced. The one who makes audible the sound coming from the Gagan, or astral heaven, is my Gurudev. Who gives that experience? Through the Guru's knowledge, I got the true eye, through which the veil of ignorance was pierced and the light revealed within. So, what is the value of Guru Bhakti, or devotion to the Guru? All living souls should do Guru Bhakti and become one with the light within. Become connected to that light and develop your devotion, which should increase so much so that each pore vibrates with the Guru's Nam. When a little love awakens in a person, does it not bubble up and overflow? It should be developed steadily up to full realization, through which all peace and serenity will reign in your being. Eat less, sleep less, have mercy, forgiveness, and love. The Prophet Muhammad said that one should eat one mouthful less at each meal. Sheikh Saadi said that half of the stomach should be filled with food, one-fourth with water, and one-fourth left empty. Swamiji Maharaj said that those who desire to taste the nectar of the Shabad should eat one meal per day only. We eat too much. Naturally, sleep will come to our house. If your food is regularized, you will rise up punctually in the morning. The awakened man's body may sleep, but he does not. Remember, the soul is a conscious entity, and usually when a person sleeps, the soul withdraws to the throat and the man experiences dreams. If it withdraws to the navel, deep sleep ensues. The masters remain awake. Unlike others, they are awake while sleeping. This is a very noble aim to aspire to. These three things will help you to eat less, sleep less, and have mercy, forgiveness, and love. Mercy is the interest gained from righteous living. Pride's interest is sin. O Tulsi, leave not mercy while this body breathes. A person has more pity for his family and friends than for strangers. Is this compassion? If one's neighbors are dying of starvation while one is eating one's fill, what kind of mercy is this? Should your own child be sick, yet you hear of another's that needs help, if you have true mercy, you will give more attention to the strange child. When Guru Gobind Singh's children were killed in battle, his wife came crying to him, "Where are my four sons?" His words are noteworthy. "For the heads of all these sons, the followers, have I sacrificed the four." This is what you can call compassion. He sacrificed all that was his for the sons of others. Did he win any empire or property for himself? True masters have real compassion for people. When Jesus Christ was sitting with some people, he was told that his mother and relatives were outside desiring to speak to him. What was his reply? He said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And indicating his disciples and followers, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers." If someone makes a mistake, forgive him. But people prefer justice to forgiveness. Remember this, that with justice, the heart is never cleansed. I will give an example from my own experience. My wife was once traveling home by train, and I went to meet her at the railway station. As soon as she stepped off the train, and before I had even approached her, a pickpocket stole her purse and ran off. As it happened, a wide-awake police constable had witnessed the incident, quickly caught the man, and returned the purse to my wife. With a firm grip on the thief, the policeman turned to me and said, "You must also come along to the police station." I pointed out to him that as we had recovered the purse, we were quite satisfied. But he protested and said, "This sort of thing is happening frequently. You must come and make a charge." Okay, I'm going to stop there. Tune in next time for the rest of what happens. Thank you, Master. Thank you so much for your love and for this path. And God bless us all.
Thank you, Sheila, for reading for us. Could you tell us again what you were reading from?
Oh, I'm reading from The Night is a Jungle, and I'm in the chapter called The Night is a Jungle, and I just stopped on page 353.
Okay, thank you. There were 74 people at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So now we are going to mend bodies, you see. Masters come and say, "Well, dear friends, you have had man body so many times, you did not avail of it. You were attached to the outer world, to the material things. Now is time again when you got a man body, just direct your love to God."